So, the fire that we are working to call in today is a nourishing, uplifting fire that feeds the soul, that warms us, that illuminates us. And I find that looking at the goddess Brigide and her counterpart, Saint Bridget, is such a wonderful way to illuminate this particular way of thinking about fire and bringing fire into our lives. On the altar here, I have three different artists' renditions of Brigide. And what's interesting is as I was looking at some of the other things that you all have put there, there are many elements that have been placed on the altar, sort of probably intuitively by you, that correlate to Brigide and kind of what she's about. So Brigide is a big mother goddess. In our household, we would say she's a big mama. So she, in the Celtic world, was one of those goddesses that kind of covered the whole gamut and could even be thought of as a triple goddess in some areas. She correlates to smithing with the fire, right? Towards healing, poetry, towards the home, keeping the home, and childbirth, and is very much a keeper of peace, like a visionary of peacekeeping. We can think of her fire in sort of different dimensions. One is the fire in the hearth, so the fire in your home. And we all know what it's like to walk into a home and feel like, oh, this is a warm place. People laugh here often. People love each other in this space. People are real with each other in this space. And we feel comfortable and at home and cozy. So it's that kind of warmth, the warmth. So we call on that fire of the hearth to make a warm space between the members of our household. And also, like, I think of the image of sitting around a fireplace on a cold night, playing music and reading poetry and telling stories and giggling and sharing about our lives, like that kind of kinship and community that happens. This very much also has to do with abundance and nourishment, and we cook over that hearth fire, right? And make our food something that can nourish us. And then Summer, in the afternoon today, is going to be talking about how once we've cooked the food and brought it into our body, how the fire of our own body, the what we call Agni of our own body, has to also do its work appropriately for us to actually take the nourishment of the food that we have. You know, we might have the most amazing organic, totally balanced tridoshic spread, but if our body can't assimilate it, then, you know, that's a problem. So she's going to help guide us in that way. So she has this connection to poetry and music and stories and kinship and the real warm center of the home. The next area is the fire in the forge. So this is a transformative fire, right? The fire in the forge, what it does is it heats things up enough so that, like metal, up enough specifically to bend into new shapes, to create and recreate. And so this is very much about transformation. The fire that we feel in yoga that is the fire of transformation, we call that tapas in yoga. But it's the same thing that everyone on earth has felt in transformative times, that heat that comes that we often want to run the other way from. But if we can sit in it and breathe and be with it gracefully, we come out new on the other side. And tapas, the image that's used is it's a fire that's burning away the dross of a metal. So it's like, imagine if you have like a gold that's mixed with all sorts of other stuff. It's burning it away so that the gold can be pure. Then we have fire in the heart. What we are passionate about. For sure, there's a personal romantic fire in the heart that is part of the joy of living. But it's also the other passions we have, like what our work is in the world, what is that saw a TED Talk recently that was saying, what's the work that you can't not do? Like, even when no one's paying you for it, even when you don't have time, somehow you're still doing your needlework, or you know, if you're passionate about needlework, or you're still being a peacemaker in other ways. Hi, Ash, come on in.
Have a
seat. Of course, come
I
sit.
Somehow read the wrong time.
That's fine, that's fine. We're talking about the goddess Brigid. Have a seat. You're welcome. So, the goddess Brigid, she was the queen, essentially, of one sort of mythic band in the Celtic stories, and her husband was like the great chieftain, and they had at least one son, maybe other children also. But as it happens in a lot of these mythic stories from various cultures, there's of course an epic war always going on. And often this is the pull of light and dark, right, in a mythic terms. But in Brigid's story, her son, when he's grown, goes to battle and dies in this battle between the two warring sides. And she, instead of kind of lining up with this kind of idea of good and bad and us and them, this tribal idea, actually drops all of that. And in her grief and in her passion, becomes a peacemaker and dedicates her whole life to trying to bring peace to these two epically warring areas, so, and peoples. And so anytime that we have, so two different pieces there. One, this passion in our lives, igniting that is the passion of the heart, but also the power of the heart, the fire of forgiveness. We don't often think of that as fire, but the fire that it takes to sit with someone that really feels like they're the enemy and find forgiveness for you and for them. The fire that it takes to be a peacemaker in your family, in your office, in your, you know, communities, in your cultures, right? That is fire, for sure. And so we'll be looking at this fire in the heart and how, what's your calling to be that light in the world? And Brigid is also very connected to fertility and parenthood and all the passions that surround that study, whether you have children or not. It's a very fiery process. So Saint Brigid, Brigid has been, since pre-Christian times, a big part of the Celtic world and continues to be someone who lights our imagination and, you know, touches on such deep themes that everyone can relate to that. And for me, I learned a lot about how to think about fire in learning about her. Not just that fire was losing your temper, right? Like we say that someone's fiery when that happens, but that's not the fire that is this kind of sacred fire that she's talking about. Saint Brigid shows up about 400 BC, and the church often does this where they take whatever the local customs are and the local beliefs are, and the Catholic Church anyway, and brings it on board. It's called synchronization or syncretization. And so one way of looking at it is, well, like the church looked around and was like, this Brigid's pretty powerful. We should probably like get these guys on board. The only way is by helping them see the goddess here too. So we're gonna graft her story onto Saint Brigid, right? That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is that this energy, this vibration of Brigid is so eternal, really, and powerful, that this woman that was born, that was given the same name, Brigid, somehow was embodying some ray of that light of the goddess. And when we look a little bit at her story, we see that the themes that show up in her life are kind of now, of course, in mythic proportions because it was a long time ago, but it has, it's another way of looking at it and kind of an interesting sort of yogic way of looking at it, with this idea of reincarnation and the possibility of being an avatar of something, of holding a ray of that divine light on earth. So Saint Bridget, is in particular, because she was born at this time where there was all of this fiery stuff happening between pagans and Christians. She is, in her own body, in her own being, in her own story, very much an attempt to be making peace in a lot of ways. Like, she is said to have been born to a princely father, a princely Christian father, and a servant pagan mother. And so in there we have somebody who's bringing together classes and bringing together two different religions. And when she was born, it said that there were two druids and two bishops that foretold that this child would be like no other. Right? So the sacred numbers, and both sides saying, like, this is light we can't deny. So it's also said that her mom gave birth to her while stepping through the threshold of her house, 1 foot outside, 1 foot inside, while bringing in the milk, of course, the nourishment. So it's like, I love this. It's so beautiful. And she, as she grew, showed herself to be a healer, a friend to animals, someone who had a capacity for compassion and selfless service that was really beyond, far beyond ordinary. We're going to tell a couple more of her stories as we're moving, but just to get a sense of who she is. One of the stories is that she was walking in town and saw a leper begging for food for his children, and she gave her father's sword, which is like a huge deal, your dad's sword. You've read any legend ever, like, it's a big deal. Gives her father's sword to the leper to feed his children and to be well. And so we have this connection to the forge in the sword, and we have the connection to children and the warmth of the home and to service, all in one little story. So there's a place called Kildara, or Kildare, and on that mount there is a sacred well and a sacred flame that were dedicated to Brigid, the goddess Brigid, forever ago. And it said that there were 19 priestesses that would be tending that flame and making sure that it stayed lit. When Saint Bridget shows up, she forms a monastery in that place, a double monastery, and she keeps 19 nuns to tend the flame. And that flame was lit, so she lit it, I think, in 470, and it stayed lit until 1220. So, you know, 800 years of that light being lit there. And the reason it was lit, or the reason it was extinguished, was because the bishop in 1220 said that it had pagan roots, which it did. He was kind of right. But he wasn't seeing the bigger beauty, the bigger picture. She actually was ordained as a bishop, which was, I'm guessing, not so common, since it's not common now. But she apparently was coming with a group of other women to be dedicated as nuns. And when she walked in, the bishop said he saw a tower of flame, like, with her, through her, and ordained her as a bishop on the spot, is the myth of that. Super beautiful. And that flame has been relit. It was relit in 1993, and it is now, we could go on a field trip. Next October, let's go. What her day is, she's said to have passed on February 1st, and so that's the church's, like, St. Bridget's feast day, and that is the day of Imbolc in the Catholic, or the Celtic calendar, which is the first day of spring and the day that people traditionally would, it was Saint Goddess Brigid's day. So once again, we have the bridging of worlds. And this, she is credited with founding three different communities. And those of us who have worked in any kind of community, we were talking about even just living in the same house with four roommates. Imagine an entire like religious community. Know that that's fiery work. That's fiery work. So three different religious communities are dedicated to her or said to have been founded by her. So today, with this framework of who, the kind of fire we're calling on through these two beings, we'll be really looking at how do we ignite the fire in the heart, the fire in the forge, the fire in the hearth, and how do we call on this fire that has been around for a long time and shows up in so many different cultures and religious traditions, so is in each of us. How do we ignite that and take it out into the world? So, any questions or thoughts before we move onto our mats and start our fiery practice? No. All right, so come on back home to your mat. Thank you for listening to me.